not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Who felt those 60-mile-an-hour winds hit last night about midnight around here? Whew! Anyway, it's still windy. 53 degrees, northwest winds at 23 miles an hour, wind gust up to 30. And I can already tell my guests are in the studio, and we're going to have fun today. One's shy and one's not, so you know how that goes over with me. So anyway, we'll see how that goes. But first of all, let's do some, just a few commodities, and then I want to go over the results that I have so far from OIE. And Monday, I promise you, I'll have a very accurate list. Anyway, let's see. Live cattle is up 140.05 for April. June is 136.57. August is 137.35, and October 144.27. Feeder cattle are back up. They were down this morning, 157.10 for March. April 162.45. Lean hogs are down. April 110. May 107.05, and June is 115.95. Looks like oils creep back up, so our fuel's not going to go down anytime soon. But that's the way it is. First, now, second, let's go get to OIE. So here's the numbers for OIE, 151 entries into the ag mechanics part of the OIE. 3,136 cattle, 3,662 sheep, 3,046 goats, and 15,426 hogs. That's a lot of screaming hogs. Anyway, from Leedy. If I don't pronounce your name, don't come hunting me. Right, okay. Shaylin Hahn, Champion Burk Bear, congratulations. From Sayre, Lakey Pool got eighth place with the spot barrel, which people say, why are you announcing eight? 15,000 hogs. And if you place at OIE and make it through all those pens, eighth place is like grand champion to me anyway. So, and then Lexi Varnell, Class 2 winner with her Hamp Barra, and she made the sale, I heard. For Merritt, Brindley Williamson, Champion York, the famous Lexi Smith. That's a thing between me and her. She's not really famous, but that's something between me and her. Reserve Champion Burke, Reese Hightower, and Leighton Freeze took second place in their Ag Mechanics with their Arm Bed Project, Welding Skid, and made the Big Iron Premium sale. Reese and Leighton, congratulations. That's awesome anyway. From Eric, Chloe Sue McIntyre, reserve grand champion or reserve champion, Charlay's. Rance McIntyre got second with his cross steer. Canute, I had to go to another page for Canute because they kicked some butt this year. Sadon Allen, division champion, breed champion with the Hemp Market Weather. Colt Randall, reserve breed champion, Market Lamb. One class three with crossbred Market Lamb also. Clay Randall, reserve natural and reserve Suffolk Weather. And who will it? Kenley Pruitt, champion Dormer. I hope I'll pronounce this right. Hazen Pruitt, champion Southdown. Parker Jacks won a class with the Shorthorn Heifer. And Madison Church, fifth overall, Doe Goat. And we'll go to the next page. Granite, Megan Mills, fifth in class with Duroc. Reed Seitz, 12th in class with his York. 7th, Burke in his class, too. Cameron Kyle, reserve champion, Poland Gilt. And from Carnegie, you guys all remember that young lady I had on here from Carnegie about 2 or 3 months ago. that did really good in speech contest. Addie Snaberger, reserve champion, Weather Dam. Oh, no, let me back up. Reserve grand champion. Yeah, she did good. They, if you get on the OYE website and go to the champion, one of those, just hit on one of those pages, you'll see her right there. She's got an expression on your face. You picked me, the judge. It was pretty good. So anyway, so congratulations to all those. And I know I'm missing some, guys. You don't know how hard it is to look up all these kids in my listening area on the Texas side and the Oklahoma side. Eight counties in Oklahoma. It's hard, but you can always text me at 580-225-9697 and update me on the ones I miss. And Monday, when I announce what these the calves, the hogs, and the goats, and the sheep all went for, I will add them in there to my list. So I would appreciate it. Well, Benzie and Lori White from B&L, Red Angus from Putnam, is in the studio with me, and they got their big sale coming up next week. But I don't even know if we're going to get to the sale, because I think there's going to be some trash talking going on. And so, anyway, they brought all new hats in for us, and I'm sporting it right now, if you can see it. Anyway, thanks for the hats, but we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
Is being an agent for Farm Bureau Insurance similar to farming in a sense?
Oh, very much so. You know, I think you've heard me say all the time, I'm available anytime. And I think in the farming world, you're available anytime. You know, you work long hours. You don't ever know what you're going to be doing the next day. You may wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to go plow, and someone calls and says, hey, your cows are out. And insurance is that way a lot. You know, I may come to the office and think, well, today I've got to get this done, and a storm hits the night before and your gears change and you're taking care of your customers. Farm work is hard. You know, people talk about, you know, farming and crops and things like that. That's a gamble. You know, we do crop insurance here, and I try to help secure their assets on that part of it. So that's just another phase of what we do to try to help our farming community. I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Their genetics work. They've got proof. The B&L Red Angus Bull Sale is Wednesday, March 23rd at the ranch near Putnam. Selling 100 18-month-old Red Angus bulls, 30 registered bred fall calving heifers, and 15 registered open heifers. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 p.m. B&L values low inputs with high efficiency, added pounds through genetic merit, and honest females that make it happen year after year. The B&L Red Angus Bull Sale, Wednesday, March 23rd at the ranch near Putnam. For catalog and videos, log on to blredangus.com.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Nothing like having a production manager in here during the break. It was already hot enough in here, and he brought the heat on. But anyway, we're back on. In the studio with me is Benji and Lori White. They own B&L Red Angus and Putnam. Welcome to the show, you two.
Glad to be here, I guess.
Thank you.
He is, I can tell. We might have to get a marriage counselor in there. They said they don't mind working cattle together, but when they get in the office, it's a whole different world. So anyway, but well, how's the winter been for you guys up on the ranch?
Dry.
That's a, you know, I fracked a couple wells between Putnam and Tologa and on the east side of the road, and that's a, when you go over the hill coming from the Custer City turnoff, that's a different world.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you pop that hill, that's big country.
Yes, it is.
It is. So where are you guys at from Putnam?
Right in the middle of town, it's 6 miles west and 3/4 south on the west side.
So you're getting pretty close to the river then, huh?
Yeah, yep, it drops mile, down right there.
A mile and a half south of the river.
See, I know that area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right next to the cemetery.
Oh, really? Yep. You guys go over there and see anybody from time
our
to
neighbors
time?
They're peaceful.
Yeah.
Are they? Our dogs, they like to go down there and welcome the new members.
Yep.
Well, let's start out with you guys. How'd you end up at Putnam? And tell us a family story. See,
you're on the spot.
Aaron, you might have to come in here and get between them.
This is where it gets dicey. We are originally from, I grew up west of Sharon, okay. And Benji grew up east of Mutual. We went to school at Sharon Mutual. He's older than me, so he graduated in, I know, that's shocker, first off. He graduated in 94, and he wasn't checking out the eighth graders when he graduated, so he doesn't remember me. But
so. That's awesome.
Whenever he got out of high school, he entered Oil Field U and went to work, and I went to college after I graduated. But when I came home, I wanted to run cattle, and I was trying to figure out how to make a go of that, how to make a living running cattle, because how to buy them, how to figure out how to pay for it all. Benji was moving oil rigs at that time, and him and my brother worked together. Well, they partnered on some cattle because they were bachelors in the oil field, had money, so why not?
How about now?
No money.
There you go. See, I'm trying to start it. You guys just keep cool out there in radio land.
A wife and two kids, no money.
No money.
And more cattle.
Yeah, a lot more cattle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got some beautiful cattle, too, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Everyone always says, how did you get started with the Red Angus? And honestly, it's because Benji likes red. He had red semis, red pickups, and I had a small commercial herd, and my dad had a handful of registered Red Angus cows. Okay. So after we get married, which he's working with my dad one day, and I come home from work. I was a vet supply manager at that time. And he informs me that he has traded my commercial cow herd to my dad for these 5 Red Angus registered cows. I was so mad because they were mine to trade, not his.
It was a good trade.
But you kept it in the family.
Yeah.
See, that's offset. I'm taking up for him.
You're not helping me in the counseling session.
Well, and you guys ain't never looked back on your Red Angus, have you?
No, we just kept growing. We had the opportunity to lease the ranch that we're at now. The gentleman that owns the land, I had AI'd his cattle, and him and my dad were friends, and were actually partnered on some Red Angus cows. And so when he was ready to retire, he called my dad, and he asked my dad if he would be interested in leasing the ranch. And my dad, smarter than we were, he knew it was more work than he wanted himself, so he calls me, and he's like, hey, you and Benji want to lease this ranch with me? And so Benji's moving oil rigs at that time, and I call him, and I'm like, what do you think? And he said, yeah, yes.
Let's do it.
Immediately. So we started making the plan, and originally, this is how naive we were. We thought we could keep our place at Mutual where we were living, and we had cattle up there, and just operate the place at Putnam, part-time. We're like, it'll be no breeze. No big deal. It'll be a breeze. So Benji came down in, I think, April of 2008, and in May, he had never came back to Mutual. So I came down to bring him groceries, and we kind of made the decision right then that it was time to be all in.
Yeah, because there's not really a highway that goes straight from Mutual to Button.
No.
It don't work that way.
No
short way to get there.
No, I mean, what is the shortest way to get there?
Through Tologa.
Through Tologa. Yeah, coming in from the north.
If you could cross the river, we lived just straight north of where we're at right now. It's a long ways around.
It's a long ways around. Yeah, that's no joke. And so so that's 2008, mm-hmm. made that decision.
Yep.
So you've been there 14 years, I guess, thereabouts.
Yep.
You're on your 14th year. How many cows are you guys running?
We started out with 500 commercial cows. And over the time, we've changed. We have about 250 commercial and 250 registered. We've been slowly turning it kind of registered.
And then all the bulls that are in the sale, they all registered, or you got to, okay, well, yeah.
All registered.
Yep.
And that's what, when we people ask how many cows we run 500 cows. But at any given time, there's at least 100 bulls at the place, and 100 to 150 heifers.
And
so there's almost always 750 to 800 heads standing around wanting fed.
And right now I'm taking it, you're praying for a rain.
Yeah.
Just like the rest of us. Yeah, because I showed up. You see all this water out here? Did you see all
that? We did. We didn't know what that was.
I pulled in here and I walked in here and I asked Nathan, I said, did a water leak out here or something, you know? And then when it got daylight, because it was 6 o'clock this morning, I looked out there and there's water standing everywhere. I'm like, what up?
Yes. We didn't get that last night.
No.
We got a sprinkle.
Yeah, I didn't even get a sprinkle. I live on the other river, on the other side of the river in South Desert, and all we got was 60 mile an hour wind.
Yeah.
And that just dried things out a little more.
Yeah.
It's definitely the wheat pasture up around Putnam, well, everywhere. It's in pretty dire straits.
Yep. But you can tell by the cattle markets, the sale barn receipts lately, they're coming off. They're slowly coming off, and it's early.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not too early, but it's getting close to time. But they, so you put up your own hay?
Yes.
It's all prairie hay, I guess?
Yep.
Good.
Usually wheat or grass hay.
Right. And then they got and you got two children.
Yes.
How old are they? Name them.
Blaine is 12 and Lauren is 6.
Yeah, Lauren's the one. I knew Lauren. The other one, I just couldn't remember his name. So.
Lauren's 6, going on about 26 sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah, wait till she really turns 12.
Yeah.
I had two girls and I'd take boys any day.
Yeah.
Nothing against girls.
No, she is this one in female form. That's what I tell everyone. I'm like, if you ever wonder what a female Benji is, it's her.
Kind of like looking in the mirror, isn't it? Your daughter and you.
Hey, wait till she turns 18 or goes to OSU or wherever she goes, comes back, and she switches the herd from red to black.
Oh, no, it'll have to be, that's not colorful enough. I mean, like, she will be the one that creates the pink and purple sparkle cow.
She's very color. She likes things very colorful.
Oh.
Very loud.
Well, Red Angus has become super popular in the last, 5 years? I mean, super popular.
Yeah, for sure the last five, probably last 10 is when it really started.
Because you see a lot more Red Angus, and I think, I just throw this out there, one of the number one reasons I think a lot of people, not only are they beautiful cattle and they're Angus, but they handle the heat out here a lot better than the black cows.
Yeah.
And so, why the red cows, you drive by and the red cows are out there eating, the black cows are in the shade, swapping off the flies. So it makes it. So why do you guys, what's your version and why do you think Red Angus is so, I mean, why do you love them?
Besides the color.
One is the docility of them.
Right.
I mean, they're very docile and the females are very, very maternal. They make really, really good mamas.
Right. And I don't know if this is a rumor, but some people says the Red Angus milk's a little better than the Black Angus, and I don't know how that they proof that. I think that's just personal opinion.
Yes, yeah, you can through your breeding and your EPDs, you can come up with whatever you want to come up with in any breed.
What? You guys use EPDs?
Shh. We try.
Speaking of EPDs, how's that changed you guys' operation?
So it's really eye-opening. Whenever we leased the ranch that we're on now, we bought the kef crop, the first kef crop, and went to wheat pasture with them. And so all we knew about those cattle, which, I mean, we had been AI-ing them, but so we knew a little bit about their pedigrees, but all we knew was what they look like on the outside. So enter the winter of 2008 it was cold that winter, but the cattle market dropped. So we'd bought these kevs in the fall, and when it came time to come off wheat, we couldn't afford to sell them because the price had dropped below what they were worth. So we thought, well, we'll go to the feed yard with them. We'll try to make some money off carcass and give the market time to rebound. We saw what the internal was like on those cows going to the feed yard with
them. Some good, some bad.
Some good, some bad. We took some really bad. We took hickeys on the carcass merit on some of those cattle.
Right.
Some of them had to feed way too long, and back then you could get the heavy carcass hit. So we got the cattle had to be way too big before they were finished out, so we were getting hammered on carcass size. So that was when we're like, oh yeah, we're going to use our AI to change this herd to start making us more money on the sales side of the cattle.
You know how many times I've heard this?
And then crazy. We took it a step further because we couldn't find the bulls to do it, so we thought we'll raise our own. Oh. Where we had been in the bull semen sale business,
right.
we knew how to do it, so thought, why not?
Well, if you guys are just joining us, I got Benzie and Lori White with B&L Red Angus from Putnam, Oklahoma, from their ranch in here, and they got their big sale coming up next Wednesday, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. But back to what you were just talking about. I mean, I haven't heard it a lot of times because I only know a handful of people personally that follow their mm-hmm. calves to the feedlot. The Taylor Ranch. Mm-hmm. I got ex-brother-in-law down there and some people around Holbert, you know, they mm-hmm. take them to the Freeman deal down there. But it's highly important. Because I went with Jimmy Taylor up the feedlot.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we walked through there. And, I mean, I haven't seen very many cattle people that just go up there and walk through their lot with papers. You know yep. Jimmy Taylor.
Jimmy's very so, organized.
Anyway, I said, what are you looking for? He said, the defensive backs. I know the linemen. And so, anyway, but it's important. I mean,
yep.
And you want prime choice. What do you want? Well, prime makes you the most money.
Exactly. Right. And your buyers remember, they know whose cattle they bought. They will remember the feed yard owners. If they're buying cattle to feed out, they're going to remember whose calves did not grade, whose calves right. cost them money. Those things might have looked big and beautiful, but like we're in our learning curve. We learned so much through experience and at the expense of dollars.
And you guys probably aren't 100% where you want to be yet, are
no.
you?
No. Are you ever there?
I don't know that you are, but things change every year.
Yeah.
I mean,
and in the market like today and what we're probably headed into with the extremely high commodity prices, what you can get in a premium hanging on the rail is the difference of making a profit or losing money
exactly.
on a pen of steers or a pen of heifers.
Right.
So every little thing that we can add into those bulls to feed the steers or to make the steers that are going to be fed in the yard and hung on the rail makes our customers more money.
Right. Yeah. It's not all about, it's not show cattle. It's about
no.
meat. It's
yes.
on the hoof.
Yes.
Yeah, yep. you can do all. So do you guys even, is the kids show, or are they
Blaine,
showing?
Blaine did last year, and yeah. so he did, I guess, 2 years. And the funny story, how the reason he had a show heifer was because she was a twin to a bull, so she was going to be a free Martin.
Right.
And so we thought, and I don't want to offend any show people, because like I said, Blaine will probably continue showing, but I didn't want to waste a heifer to be a show heifer. I didn't want to pull one of my good registered producing right. females and be like, okay,
yeah.
I'm going to feed you. You're going to be a big show heifer and then may never have a calf again.
Right.
So with the Free Martin heifer is the way to go.
Yeah, that's the way to
so
go.
So he takes her and it was the best thing for him. I mean, she's a big old puppy dog. She was the best thing. And turns out she was not a Free Martin. She has a bull calf at her side now.
Oh,
so,
she was the 1%.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
that's awesome. That's
yep.
awesome.
Yep.
That's what I say. I like, he saved her life by picking to show her because we just would have sold her because we just knew she would be a Free Martin. But
that's awesome. Well, we're going to stop right there and we're going to take a break. Benzie and Lori White is in here with me, and B&L Red Angus, their bull sale's coming up next week. We're going to talk about their bulls. And also, can I leave those in the front office?
Uh-huh.
If you guys are interested in going to the sales next Wednesday, and it's a little late maybe to get a mailer out, and I know you guys been filming stuff out there and taking pictures, but we'll have some catalogs in the front office here if you want to stop by the radio station and pick up some catalogs. It's a nice catalog. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Live Stream. It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I guess you guys was waiting for me to come back on, weren't you? Yeah. Anyway, let's see here if I have time to ask the question. All right, here you go. How does the red Angus bulls cross with purebred Herefords?
They make a beautiful red Baldy.
Yeah, that's what I was say.
Yeah.
It's become a pretty popular cross. Red Angus and Hereford have actually joined together and support that mating. And it's, matter of fact, we've got, actually have a guy flying in from Georgia that is a Hereford breeder coming to look at bulls and females to make their crosses.
Major, what are you doing next Wednesday? You need to be headed up to Putnam. Because I actually did read something about it, you know, because they got the black Hereford out now. Mm-hmm. And that's basically a slick Angus bull with a regular Hereford. Yeah. And so your red Herefords that you'd get out of cross between the red Angus bull and the Hereford cow would be just slick red.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, not that Texas orange. So.
Yep. Burn orange.
Yeah, burn orange.
It's called American Baldy, yes. If I remember right, is what they're calling it.
All right. Thank you, Major. There's your, I hope that answered your question. So back to Benji and Lori. Anyway, Benji and Lori White with the B&L Red Angus Ranch is here. They're having their sale. Next. Uh-oh. One stop. I got to stop 1 second. Lori Campbell.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't very excited. Lori, you need to learn to read, text in on the text line so I don't have to look at my phone on the air. Anyway, so the ranch, you said, it's at the ranch.
Yes.
And 6 miles west from downtown Putnam.
6 miles west of downtown Putnam.
There's not a stoplight there. That's a co-op, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
it co-op. Is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's a co-op.
We're 16 miles east of Leedy on Highway 47.
Oh, yeah, back over there by Ray.
Yeah.
Or east of Ray.
Yep. We have east signs Ray. Up on 47 Highway. If you come that way, you'll see the signs.
I never thought about that way. Yep. Well, it's shorter to Mutual than you guys are claiming.
It's about 45 miles.
Yeah. So, anyway, so the sale's next Wednesday, March 23rd at 1 o'clock at the ranch.
Lunch starts at noon, and we have...
What are you having?
We have... I'm not sure what Andy's making, but I'm sure we'll have brisket and his famous smoked cobbler.
Smoked mac and cheese.
Smoked mac and cheese, smoked cobbler. Yeah.
He does, he does an
outstanding job.
I'll see if I can get Nathan to do my show that day.
Yeah.
And then I'll call in and give him updates.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, we do that. Yeah. Because I help them do their shows, but nobody helps
just
me.
Just do a remote broadcast live from the B&L Red Angus Bull Sale.
Boss, are you listening in there? He's in there.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, there we go. We might have to do this. It'll be my first.
Yeah.
Might not be the best.
Hey, be all right.
We are the perfect guinea pigs. Believe me, I feel like that's what we are in life.
we got the bulls, we got bred females, we got open heifers. Tell us about the bulls.
Very, very stout offering of bulls. There'll be 100 and two or three bulls. I can't remember exactly.
I think we're down to 100 after that.
100, yeah.
We lost two on fertility.
Yeah.
So everything's been tested.
Everything was
tested,
great. Yeah.
Guaranteed. 18 months. All the bulls are 18 months old. Have 35-ish fall bred heifers, registered bred heifers. And 17 open yearling registered heifers.
Are those bred heifers bred to your bulls?
Yes.
Yeah, they're some of them are AI bred. I mean, we have the breedings in the catalogs, but some are AI bred and then cleaned up with.
Who's that?
I know, that's that Lori, the other Lori person.
Oh, she's got the most prettiest smile. I seen her at the Davis sale. She come walking across the parking lot when she smiled, even in that dirt storm. I knew it was her. So anyway, but they got. So what's your main bull? What's your favorite? And
There's a couple, and especially in this cell, the biggest offering in this cell will be Brunswick Sons, which is a great great grandson of Redemption, which is a bull we owned. They went to Gen X and won, if not the highest, one of the two highest selling Red Angus bulls in history.
Really?
And
how much? Remember price.
See, price wise, we paid $140,000 for him with a small group of people that went in with us to buy him. But he sold more semen than any Red Angus bull ever.
Wow!
And we had
congratulations
last year or year before. He was 9, almost 10 years old, and they called from Gen X and said we're going to send him home, let him finish out his life on the ranch. He was getting arthritis really bad in his hips, and they called a week later and said, we're not sure he can make the trip home.
Oh.
So we made a pretty tough decision to go ahead and put him down and not make him suffer riding all the way from Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
So we had, like I said, with the background in the working for ABS and selling bull semen, I always thought it was cool that you could get royalty checks off of bulls. I mean, like, you send a bull to a bull stud, everyone that sells semen, you as the owner gets a kickback. You know, you get a royalty check, just like your oil well check.
Well, yeah.
And so whenever we started really getting into the registered side of it, Redemption was an investment for us. That's what we thought. We'll buy this bull, send him to stud, and we'll get that mailbox paycheck, you know. But it was a very learning experience for us. And since then, we've raised, what did we send? Three bulls that we've raised have went to stud, and one was sold private or marketed private treaty. While we love the fact that we bought Redemption and was able to market him and stuff that way, raising the ones and having, you know, your breedings are the ones that go to the stud is pretty cool.
Yeah, but like oil wells, they run dry.
Yep. So do bulls.
Bulls don't live forever.
Yep.
And the bulls don't live forever. But still, that's awesome. It holds the record, right? You say
he does. He holds the record for semen sales for Red Angus bulls.
Oh, that's.
And he's been a huge influence in the Red Angus breed.
Right.
I mean, he's huge influence in our herd and
a lot of herds
all over, actually all over the world, because we exported semen everywhere on him.
Okay, so I travel to North Dakota and Wyoming a lot to work, and they have a lot of Red Angus up there.
Yes.
I'm talking big herds.
Yep.
And, I mean, you look across there, and it's just like red.
Mm-hmm.
Is that probably the South Dakota, North Dakota, and Northern Nebraska, they probably raise...
Montana.
They raise as many Red Angus as anybody in the country, am I guessing?
Yep.
And have you guys got friends up there?
Oh, yeah.
How are they doing during this drought? Because it's been tough going on.
It's tough. That's the lady that builds our catalog is from North Dakota, and I was texting her this morning, and their sale was last week, and they had a really good sale with her and her husband and her parents do the sale together. And she said it was a little bit tougher because of the drought conditions that people just don't need bulls, and they're probably going to sell more cows this year.
Yeah.
And her parents are from Montana.
North Dakota. They're right on the same, right on the line. It's tough.
That's the reason why I was asking, because I cover the drought a lot in here, and we're in the middle of one, and theirs has been going on for 2 years.
Yep.
And every now and then, like Hobart this week, I seen these cattle come out of Montana and North Dakota.
Yep.
See that? Yeah.
So it's still going on. Oh, even yeah. though their drought shows it's less than it was last year, they're still in a drought.
They're still
right.
in trouble.
Well, yeah, their winter moisture hasn't grown them anything yet. There's yeah. no forage benefiting from that yet.
And they didn't make any hay last year.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part because they feed a lot of hay.
All right, let's get back to the sale. Where's the girls at?
They're towards the back. I think 105 is the first female.
105 starts the first bred heifers.
Female. There we go. Anyway, so on the bred heifers, you guys, AI, and are they fall calvers, I guess?
Yes, fall calvers, yes.
And so they'll be fall calvers. What are you doing with Monty Tucker in here?
I'm telling you what, it's a rough crowd.
It's hard to find good pictures for the catalog.
Yeah.
Monty, you look better with a suit and tie on in that picture I seen you at the Oklahoma Farm Bureau. And that's probably the first time I've ever seen him with a tie on. And it's probably a clip on tie.
He might not know that his picture's in
that's
the catalog.
Right.
But he does now, because if he's not in the middle of something, he's listening, because he's always texting me and something to Lori and Monty, they text me and they catch me off guard, and I'm like, can you guys just use my computer so I don't look at my phone?
Monty's going to be looking for a catalog to find out what kind of picture we put. Maybe we should do that. We should put blackmail pictures in catalogs.
Monty,
so people are
turn Facebook on. There you are. Oh, this is fun.
Well, Lori, Lori made it too.
Yeah, got Lori's in the catalog.
Yeah, Lori, that's why I was talking about her smile a while ago. And I thought that was you, but that's not, is it?
Right?
No, well, yeah, unfortunately it is.
You got a twin brother?
One that smiles?
Yeah. I'm not sure where that picture came from. I think that was one that was snuck in somewhere.
I just wondered if you had a twin brother, because that one was smiling.
Blaine doesn't like the picture of him in his robe. Did you see him in the heifer picture? Whenever his show heifer had her calf last fall, he was so excited.
He just took off in his robe.
Yeah, he was so excited to show me. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a Christmas robe.
Yeah, he looks like Cousin Eddie off of the Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, is this the heifer as a baby?
Yep.
Oh.
No, that's
her.
That's her
baby.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you guys got that one wrong. How did did she cycle or something when he was feeding her?
Yep, I thought I saw blood one day, and usually there'll be blood after they've been in heat, and I thought, what's going on? Because she shouldn't be cycling. So we palpated her, and she had a full reproductive tract. So we took a chance on it, and she stuck. So
it looks like a pretty good calf, too.
Yeah.
And so is anything crazy going on in you guys' ranch this year as far as baby calves? Are there a bunch of bulls, a bunch of heifers, normal?
No, actually pretty normal this year.
And was calving pretty normal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot better than last year.
There's a lot to be said for that. Well, the fall calving. So the reason the spring heifers are so awesome in the sale this year is we kind of made the choice to sell we have a spring and a fall registered herd. And so it's a lot to maintain, because you're always in either breeding season or weaning season, or it's always something too. So we decided we're going to go all fall with the registered side. So we're selling all of our spring commercial heifers. That's why that offering. Some of those I don't want to sell. I don't like to sell females, and
There's some pretty good heifers in both offerings, but the spring offering for sure. But since we made the decision to cut the spring registered herd, everything sells.
And the fall calvers, you know, in August, nobody loses their ears. And when you have to get up and check them in the middle of the night, it's not 2 degrees. It's pretty nice in August.
I just got through with 35 heifers, and I'm so glad this is all over. And actually, I liked one, but yesterday during preg test, when Dr. Mouse come out, just run her through there, but she's 3.5 months. Oh. So she must have sloughed her calf or something, and then she cycled back when I had the bull in for the fall calf.
Oh, yeah.
So, but she's pregnant again.
Well, see if she carries it all.
We'll see. Yeah. You know, at least I got, it's just one out of 35.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's not bad.
And so if something happens again before this fall, she's out of here.
It doesn't matter to me whether you have 35 or 135. The last one never comes soon enough.
It doesn't. And Lori, you know, she was following my story on the heifers on Facebook and on the show. And text me one night, last one. So you guys aren't that far from where Lori and them are.
We're an hour. Yeah, she's an hour.
But I mean, if you go across the river, let's see, what time is it? Okay, we got a few more minutes. Lori and Benzie are in here from the B&L Red Angus Bull Sale. It's next Wednesday, March 23rd at 1 o'clock. Sounds like a really good lunch at noon. So if you show up to get the lunch, you don't get the lunch unless you buy a bull. Is that right?
Well, come for lunch and maybe you'll be so hungry. You'll be so happy.
Yeah, because Matt was in here yesterday, and Matt goes to a lot of bull sales. And he said the bull sales are doing good this year.
Yeah,
you know, Jim's and Debbie's good. Good, and Birch done good.
Yeah, Mike Schweitzer.
Everybody's is done good. So people are either there's two things going on. Either they got a lot of money that they need to spend, and I don't really think that's the deal right now. And because our inputs on the ranch and on the farm, it doesn't matter which one it is way up. But either that or they're trying to improve their herd.
Trying to get a premium for their calf crop.
If you got Red Angus, you're not holding back on cost. I know that's true. Because I got buddies that own Red Angus, and they don't hold back. Because it's not a specialty breed, but it is a special cow, as far as I'm concerned. Because I had one down there in my black Angus, but I had a red one. She had twins 4 years in a row.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they were females every time.
Wow. And it's like double your money right there. Look at that.
And she raised them.
Wow.
I mean, she raised them. And I kept watching them. The first time she had them, I said, I got to watch because I might need to take that one away. Hell, she did a better job than them. the ones with the single cows. But the red Angus are beautiful. I love them.
Yeah. They're pretty to look at.
I might have to start crossing some with my Simmentals because I'm a Simmental guy.
Hey, and that works too.
There's a lot of that too.
And following, I didn't follow the EPD. I didn't even know what it was till I met. Not that I met Jimmy Taylor. I know Jimmy Taylor a long time, but one day he started talking to me about the EPDs.
Yes.
And I was like, what? Do what?
Yeah.
And we got the marbling, the ribeye, and the milk, and the udder, and all this. I said, you need to take a road trip where you can explain this to me. And I'm learning.
Yeah.
And I'm inspired. But now they've come out with some new testing here just recently where it works not only on the Angus breed, because the Angus Association has done such a wonderful job with that breed. And I know you guys know it. And I know you guys talked earlier about some other stuff that's coming up next year. But that Angus, have you heard me say on the radio when I go in a restaurant? You know, they got the Angus certified Angus deal in there. I always ask the waitress, that black or red Angus? Do the red Angus taste better?
So
here we go.
You set him off.
Depending on what your favorite color is.
Well, red Angus marbling is a very dominant. I mean, a strong suit for red Angus.
They marble very well.
Yep. And so the one downfall, if red Angus had one, which they're working on correcting, this is the ribeye. So when we first were getting started, this goes back to knowing what's inside the cattle. We fed out a set of cattle at a feed yard, and the owner calls us, and he's like, so good news, bad news. He's like, good news, those cattle marbled like you wouldn't believe. He said, bad news, they might fall through the grate on the grill. The ribeyes are so small.
Really?
Yep. And so then we're like, okay, we need to pay attention to ribeye size on the bulls that we're using. So we started kind of selecting for that.
What do you guys, just off the top of your head, what do you guys expect for ribeyes on the grade for your bulls?
As far as an EPD?
In between.
I don't put real, real strong emphasis on ribeye, but they have to be positive.
Not be a negative.
Positive. On a positive measurement.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
I mean, we have selected certain bulls that offer a bigger ribeye, but they also have maternal traits and other things that we're looking for, too.
Yeah.
We won't breed for one trait specific. Yeah, right.
I wish I'd have brought that paper in there. Jimmy Taylor giving me a class one day on a sheet about that long.
Yeah.
Jimmy's the man. He's got this circle, this circle, this check, this X, and all this stuff. And I was like,
Jimmy would be a very good teacher for for
I don't
EPs.
Know. I'm still confused.
Yeah.
Because he knows
them. He knows them. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And one day on the show, I said, he's one of the most, smart, most intelligent man I've ever met in the cattle business. And then Tracy texts me later, quit bragging on
him. I have to live with him.
No, she said, this little old man's following me around telling me to listen to what he said. And so, anyway, so, well, let me take a break. Let me come back and do my Long Ranger. And we'll finish up with you guys. You got a minute?
Yep.
Sure. I know it's supposed to only be 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Lori sucked him into the radio studio on a 10-minute notice, whatever. So anyway, Lori and Benji White are in the studio with me from B&L Red Angus at Putnam. Their sale is next Wednesday, 1 o'clock, at their ranch west of Putnam. Downtown Putnam, that is, from the co-op, basically. Anyway, so we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sunup.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This is Jerry Nunn, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, March 15th, we sold 601 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, March 17th, we sold 3,074 calves and feeders for a total of 3,675 cows for the week. Extremely good cow and bull market. Better killing cows, 86 up to 96.50, with our thin cows bringing 64 to 91. Bulls bringing 76 to 123.50. Even sold a crippled bull that brought 121. 5-day-year-old bred cows, 1,000 up to 1,135, with their 2-day-year-old pairs, 1,125 to 1,560. Extremely good market with those medium-flesh cows the week before bringing 73. A lot of those bring 82 to 87. Again, we topped at 96.50 and topped the bulls, 123.5. Honor steers, 350 to 4-weight steers, 205 to 228, 450 to 5-weights, 191 to 219, 5 to 550 steers, 185 to 208, 6 to 50 steers, 163 to 187, 7 to 750, 145 to 161, 8 to 50 steers, 150 to 155, with our 9 to 950 steers, 131 to 140, and our 950 to 1,005 steers, 129 to 144.50. Honor heifers, 4 to 450 heifers, 187 to 189, 5 to 550, 153 to 175, 6 to 650, 143 to 163, 7 to 750, 139 to 150.50, with our 8 to 850 heifers, 132 to 140 and a quarter. However, we sold 26 Red Angus heifers to breed that weighed 809, bring 157. 12 heifers at 932 bring 140. 9 heifers at 1043 bring 116. Again, killing cows topped 96.5, bulls topped the 123.50, 800-pound heifers topped the 157. 900-pound heifers topped at 140, and 500-pound steers topped at 208. For this Tuesday, we will have 40 bred cows and pairs. We got 20 bred cows off another deal. Give us a call. We work 100% for the seller, never lying to the buyer. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Wait till you hear my adventure I'm going on Monday. Anyway, man, what things you can do at the radio station besides my glasses falling off. Anyway, 56 degrees. The winds are calming down. They're below 35 now. Northwest winds at 22. Still gusting to 32. It's going to be breezy today, 61 degrees. Tonight, clear and cool, 33. Sunny and beautiful tomorrow, 72. Breezy Sunday, 76. Guess what? Rain moves in Sunday night. Monday, they have us down for 80% chance of rain. And from what I've seen on Lacey Swope's deal this morning, it looks like we could get anywhere from a half inch to an inch and a half in western Oklahoma. You know how that goes, but hey, we'll take it. Monday night, we'll take whatever they get. Now they're calling for rain Tuesday also. And I think, let's check one little forecast. Let's check the sail forecast. Sunny. High near 60.
It's going to be too muddy after rain. Yeah. Tuesday. You better come by Bulls Wednesday.
Yeah, and then that's my Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Well, during the break, we're going to kill the rest of the show, 4 minutes. She was talking about ultrasound, and I was thinking babies, but that's not what it is. So, carcass ultrasound.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Basically, you can see what's inside while they're still alive, I guess is a good way to describe it.
It's a way to measure marbling, ribeye area, and back fat. Red Angus doesn't do anymore. Angus still does.
Right.
But you can tell how an animal's going to marble, how big ribeye is, and those measurements have to be taken within so many days of yearling age.
I gotcha. And so you're doing that Monday. That's where we're doing
our springborn stuff gets done Monday. Everything in the cell will be done. The bulls all have been done last fall.
Well, so it's not like a woman going to see the doctor. You're not putting tail in the belly and, you know, how are you doing this?
So they shave over the rib to check the marbling, and then they shave I think it's the fourth rib to check the ribeye size. They'll shave it, and they use cooking oil.
Instead of the gel, it's cooking oil.
Well, usually she uses like canola. The cheapest. Yeah. Canola.
Then the dogs are all
They come in with a 5-gallon jug of cooking oil, and they go, we're fixing to cook some beef.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm coming. I've never seen it done. I might as well.
We carcass skin every registered animal we own.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Everything's DNA'd.
And so what's neat is, like, if you have a bull that his EPD say he has a big ribeye, whenever those come in, we're watching. We're looking at those scans because you see the ribeye size on the ultrasound screen. So we're looking and we're like, is that trait really following what his EPD says?
And
you know,
most of the time or all the time, is it?
Not all the time.
Because your cow throws in, you know, she brings 50% to the table too. So,
right, that's true. So what's this guy? What does this conversation tell everybody besides me being an idiot? But what does this guy tell you about the B&L Red Angus? Is they go to a lot of trouble in their breeding.
So
if you've been thinking about it, or if you need one, and you ain't got your bull tested yet from your other herd, and you want to get into it, like Major, I know you're coming up from Cooperton. And he had a bunch of land in that fire down there.
Oh, goodness. Between
Hobart and Snyder. Yeah. And it's still only half contained.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was like 10,000 acres or 8,900 yesterday. Yeah. But you know how the mountains are down there. There's no roads leading in there. And they had the aerial flight somewhere else up north, where there's more population. But anyway, so Major, you need to come by the studio or just go to the sale.
Yeah.
Just go to the sale and get some of that.
Go to our website, blredangus.com, has the videos of all the animals in the sale and the online catalog.
Yep. And so our Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook.
DV Auction, the sales broadcast, DV Auction.
If you can't make it Wednesday, you can tune in online and bid online.
Online. And if I do a live remote up there,
yes,
I'll be telling, you guys missed out on that one. You were too cheap. So, you guys probably won't invite me back now. But anyway, so Tuesday, you're available for my music. You're available for viewing.
Yeah, come out anytime.
Anytime from when we get home today till the sale.
Hey, they're having breakfast burritos.
Yes. So, our kids look forward to those all year. Yeah. I think Kevin, we don't feed the kids.
Kevin, one of the guys that works with us for going on 10 years now, gets up and along with another friend, they make breakfast burritos.
Well, guys, sale. Thank you so much for coming in. It's been fun.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
B&L, Red Angus, Wednesday, 1 o'clock, Putnam. Have a great day.
Cool country.
I love it.
love the nonstop music.
I love your music because it's such a wide range.
This is KECO Elk City.
Pressure on China. I'm Rich Dennison, Fox News. President Biden and China's leader spoke today as the White House hopes to keep Beijing from playing a role in Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Fox's Jared Halpern's live at the White House.
The nearly two-hour conversation over video conference was the first between President Biden and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping since November, and was made in an effort by the White House to convince China not to provide military or economic assistance for Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Secretary of State Antony Blinken warned this week helping